So I think we have a few things to discuss. Eric, you want to start us off?
Well, yeah, thank you so much. This is a pleasure to hear from you on this. In English, we have an expression where we say that one cuts off your nose to spite your face. Are you familiar with that? Does it make sense in French to do something that hurts yourself in the service of something when you're trying to hurt someone else, right? If you're angry at something bigger, you hurt yourself in the process of satisfying that. And it strikes me that this is an example of cutting off one's nose to spite one's face, right? Completely evacuating lived religious experience in order to prevent one small group's expression of religious experience, not small, but 15%, maybe a big percentage, but in order to punish a different group, punishing everyone. Are there any threads of thinking like that in France today or in Paris today, where they worry that this move toward laïcité is damaging their own Christian and Catholic heritage in the pursuit of keeping Muslim religious voices out of the public?
What's clear is that this is going to hurt also the Christians, and we see that very often in many ways, which means the Christian side also has to disappear.
Right.
I was giving the example of this main TV channel who just had the midnight mass until 2010, and it disappeared in 2010 because. This is part of the public space, what's going on television. And gradually, culturally, religions have to disappear from that place. So they took off the mass. And nobody said anything. Well, the bishop said in a little place, they are sorry that the mass is not there, but you can always find the mass somewhere else. But in fact, it's a great change, because this was the main channel, the main private channel. So is this going to hurt the whole system of belief? And what's going to happen then for the young generation, the transmission of faith to the young generation, because there's no more visibility of a faith for anybody. So if in the family there is not a practice of faith very strong, then the faith just disappear for the young because they don't see it anywhere. Except if they're in they would see the Pope from time to time on television twice a year, but they see so many things on television. So it's just one of them.
along those same lines, just because it's with the there was a major protest on the marriage equality thing, same-sex marriage, just a few years ago, right? And that, as I understood it, there was a significant religious component to that. The Catholic Church was a major part of that protest. How did the laïcité folks look at that in light of the...
Well, for what they call le mariage pour tous, is a marriage, wedding for everybody. This was a big movement, social movement, which the Church started to support at the beginning. But after a while, after 5 or 6 months, the president of the Bishop's Conference said, "We don't support you anymore. That's your business. You are free to do what you want. But officially, we are not behind that." And it became more and more political.
Okay.
So he had a clearly Christian orientation at the beginning. And a lot of Christians of more traditional groups were behind. But then the bishops saw very quickly that they were used in that operation. And they say, "We don't support that anymore. That's, you do that as private people, private groups, different associations, even Christian associations, but not the official church would support you anymore." And they were criticized very strongly, particularly by the Figaro, which is the rightist conservative newspaper. They say the church is not at the forefront of this fight for our traditional marriage, but this was so mixed as a protest that they preferred just to say, "You just go. You can go as Christians, but not with the bishop's backup."
In some Muslim countries, during certain periods in history, Christian churches were not allowed to be built. My question is, in France, are mosques allowed to be built?
Oh, yes. For a long time, many Muslims would pray in a garage or terrible places they could find just like this. But there has been a whole movement of building mosques all around the country. There's mosques in many, many cities.
And there's no outcry against that?
Well, the first mosque was built in Paris in 1923, the Grand Mosquée of Paris. Obviously, they try to build mosques which are not too much, big minaret or so. The idea not to make a provocation, but otherwise, generally this has happened quite normally, and people prefer that Muslim would pray in the mosque than going in the street like in Marseille. That's the problem was in Marseille, because there's a lot of people from North Africa in Marseille, and then they had no place to pray, so they would get in the middle of the street. So everybody just thought that this was a better idea. So this has not been that much problem. Maybe you can confirm that.
Yeah, well, the number of mosques in, I think, 2000 was around 1,200 in the country, and now it's about twice that.
Yeah, so it's,
but those are mostly not purpose-built mosques, and most of them don't look like mosques.
Yeah, they don't look like mosques. But they are, everybody knows in the area that they are places where Muslims get together to pray. And most people accept that.
Can I add to the question? If you're Muslim and you have to pray certain times of the day and you're not at a mosque, then you have to pray wherever you are. So then what?
It's a very interesting debate, because there's a whole problem of the presence of Muslims in offices, companies, factories, or whatever. There's some companies who have given a place for Muslims to pray, and others say, and start to say now, that's part of the debate, this is our public space, no religion. So it is a real fight here. So far there's no solution. The solution is on the spot, a discussion between the Muslims and the people in charge of that company. But there's no law, and I hope there will be no law on that. I mean, it's up to them to discuss and negotiate what
public
they can
school?
Do.
Public school?
I know, public schools, no. Public school, there's no religion possible in
so
public school. That's
they
something.
Cannot.
No, that's North. That's 1901, so it's a very old tradition. You don't touch that. It's a dogma. It's almost sacred.
Actually, my question is, I guess, related to that. Could you speak a little bit more about what the idea of public versus private is in France? So, if there is to be no religion in the public space, what would fall under the public space versus the private space?
I think what we would call the new laïcité is really to send religion in the private space, which means home. You can do whatever you want at home, or in the church, or in the mosque. That's your space. Nothing in public. So this is the general trend. There is no law for that, but this is the general trend. And public space is all public space. So there has been a law against the complete veil, which was not for religious reason. That law was for a democratic reason, a whole discussion that you have to show your face since we are in a democracy, and also for security reasons. So it's a mix of reason. So women who would wear the complete veil would be stopped in the street, and they would have to pay 150 euros or something like this. And there has been fight against that. But that's the law, and it's enforced by agents for that. Now, the public space would be all sorts of religious demonstration in the public space. So that could be even for the Christians. In some places, they have to negotiate with the municipality because they want to organize a procession,
right,
which could be traditional processions. Mm-hmm. Like in Brittany, you have the Virgin Mary that you carry in the streets and so on. So If it's something which has been, which has a long tradition, they will not object to that. But if something new that they would try to organize, they will refuse. But they will not object to what has been, what is old and traditional in the name of culture. We can keep culture, and this has been a cultural expression. So we keep that for that reason. But otherwise, it's a mixed of, the tendency is more to say religion is for the private space, which is, I think, is totally wrong.
Well, it's interesting that the 2004 headscarf law had an exception the 2010 2011 burqa law had an exception for Catholic processions, so that you could cover your face in public if it were part of a long-standing tradition. And I wanted to ask you about that particularly because I think you're underselling a little bit the extent to which the state has accommodated religion. The property of the church is obviously maintained by the state at great cost.
But that's part of laïcité.
That's part of
this has been decided in 1901. 1905. The delimitation of laïcité is very clear. It's not a complete separation of church and state. It's a negotiation on many issues. Like you're right, all the churches are maintained by the municipality for the reason that the municipality is the owner of the church. The church are not owned by the church, but by the municipality. And the cathedrals are owned by the state, thank God, because otherwise it would be so expensive to maintain.
That's a huge subsidy.
Huh?
That's a huge subsidy.
It's an enormous subsidy.
Religious schools.
Yeah, but for the buildings, the state is the owner, so the state has to take care of what they own, otherwise. Now, for the schools, it's a law in 1959, which has been discussed a long time, and by which the state subsidized private schools and Catholic schools in the private sector. They pay all the teachers, which would be impossible here. But that's the delimitation of laïcité. But that's something which doesn't move. I mean, this will not move. They tried to move. Mitterrand in 2000, no, he was dead. In 1984, Mitterrand wanted to nationalize the private schools, and there was the biggest demonstration in France ever. More than one million and a half people demonstrated in Paris against that nationalization. The next day, Mitterrand dropped the project because that was not possible. So you do not change easily the limit of laïcité.
I agree totally, but except the one thing that you left out of your very interesting talk was the terrorist attacks of 1995, 2001, 2015, and those seem to have shocked the system a little bit. And I wanted to ask you, to the extent that they have shocked the system, they've produced on the one hand, yes, a harder core of laïcs or you know, people who propose laïcité, but it's also produced a kind of more pragmatic segment of the political class who want to finally resolve a lot of the outstanding questions about Islam in France, like getting finally a faculty of theology somewhere, having enough chaplains in the prisons, finally, which are all under existing laws, but finally opening that to Islam. Or do you think that the National Front and their ilk will prevail? And is that an exceptional far right in that they're not very friendly to religion?
I think the state has made real efforts in integration of Islams, of Muslims in general, of imam in general, formation of imam, although even that has a story. The first formation of imams, which was probably 15 years ago, was proposed to the Sorbonne, and they refused because this was imam, they were religious, and religious do not go into the Paris University. So that formation was made in the Catholic University, which is funny, because the formation of Muslims was made in the Catholic University because the state university refused. But now it's coming back, so they are really making efforts. So, but what I wanted to show is the general cultural trend of the majority of French people, which is in fact what many companies have interiorized. This neutrality of the public space is interiorized by many groups. Like there was two or three years ago, there was a proposal of making an advertisement in the subway, which is very public space, in the subway for a concert about the Christians of Middle East. And the subway company said, no, because that's public space, we shouldn't speak about Christians. And there was a debate for several months. And finally, the Prime Minister, Manuel Valls, himself said, no, you should be able to put on the wall, you should be able to talk on the wall of public space about Christians of Middle East. But that means that the company, the subway company in Paris, had internalized the idea that you do not speak about something religious in the public space. And that's the tendency. So they do it like this, and I think this is very nasty in some way, because it's difficult to go against that. How do you go against? Not by a big declaration. It's a transformation of the culture.
Yes. Can I ask you a question? So I'm interested in how gender plays into this, because in particular with the veil, we're not talking about men not showing their religious identity in public. We're talking about women not showing their religious identity in public. And do you think that's a factor that played into the outrage over the veil issue in particular? Do you think it's irrelevant to the debate? I'm just curious, because it does so much impact women in a way that it doesn't men.
I think this impacts the families and the question of the place of young women in the families, their relation to their parents. The accusation was very often that they were forced by their parents to wear the veil, which this has never been proved. Maybe one or two, that's possible, but this is not the case. It's more that women have the way of expressing directly their own faith and their own belonging by that way, and they do it. So it's... But men, the question is not asked for men, and they would not go out with the long, long thing, which they would do, Salafist groups. There's not that many, some very few in France, but they would not wear their long, long Salafist things. So it's more in the family setting that they would be or could be a problem.
Well, I'm just curious, and I didn't even think of this until Suzanne said it, but I've been thinking about Jews and the capo or the yarmulke, which, I mean, again, could become an issue of gender, with that being young men generally instead of women.
Yeah.
But how that plays out, because that's another issue of something, a religious sign in public space or in all space, because it's a religious necessity.
So it's the same law goes for the kippah as for the scarves. It's not in schools, that's prohibited. And there has been a debate recently in Marseille, in the city, where one Jew, this was a complicated story, the accusation against him that he invented the whole thing. But the other one was attacked because he was wearing a kippah. And the Jew community of Marseille had to go out in public saying, no, there is no real anti-Semitism in Marseille, the city welcomes everybody, and so on. Okay, but there is a little problem there. At one point, they were advised not to wear the kippah in some places of Marseille. So it's this area of anti-Semitism in the public space is always a risk in some places.
Mm.
So that's part of it. So the answer, which is just take off all religious sign is not an answer which is acceptable for religious freedom. But the more laic people, they just don't want to listen to that. They say all signs of religion might be might create a conflict or something, so just...
Can I just add something on the keep up? Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's less of an issue in the public schools because there is a whole sector of state-subsidized Jewish schools.
Yeah,
okay. I was going to say
so
that.
And so those for whom it's important enough
so
go to those. And there isn't the same thing yet for the Muslims
mm-hmm.
where... So in fact, in the 90s, the Muslim girls would go to Catholic schools
mm-hmm.
also to be able to stay veiled.
And they would keep their veil in the Catholic school,
right.
which they were not allowed in the public school.
Yeah.
What about them?
Maybe some Muslims. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, if the policy is allowed to remain against public expressions of religion, then does that preserve something that would be otherwise lost? And if it does in fact preserve something that that's part of the national identity at this point, is it a good thing to keep it, or is there something about French identity now that needs to be lost, and that would change through the relaxing of the policy?
You mean the something lost would be the diversity of religion,
or the quality of public discourse? It seems like there's an expectation of neutrality that's been it's hardly realized its potential in this situation. But would inviting religious expression change it in a way that would, be detrimental to that ideal of neutrality,
mm-hmm.
or would it cause other problems?
The public discourse anyway is neutral. That's any public official cannot speak about faith, whatever. That's one thing. Now the other subject we should discuss is to know if the churches of the different faiths can express themselves when there is a national debate. Which they do. There was a very interesting debate like 4 or 5 years ago on bioethics and especially euthanasia. And they have asked every faith groups to express themselves. There's a lot of debates in every cities of the province, in Paris and so on. And they have welcomed all types of opinions, even coming from faith-based groups. So in that sense, there is no refusal of discourse which would be on faith-based discourse. And that's, in that sense, is interesting. There is also, which was created by Mitterrand in 1981, a National Committee of Ethics. This is not the official name, but it's something like this. And you have there 20, 25 people who are supposed to be able to give ethical options when there is a specific problem. They are asked to say something on one issue. And in this group, appointed by Mitterrand, there were 3 people from religious groups. On purpose, he said that I want the religious group to be part of the national debate. So it's not, it's in that sense, it's, all those things is very ambiguous. That's officially, religions can express themselves. Officially, for instance, the bishops go and see and discuss once, twice a year with the prime minister. There's once a year a big dinner with the CRIF, which is the Committee of Representation of the Jews. And the debate is organized with the different religions, but then the culture is very is illogical for that. The culture has to be without religion, but at the same time, the state recognizes that the religions exist and have something to say on specific, very, very difficult issues like death and so on.
No, I just wanted to ask, but aren't these religious groups like very centralized, and their mouthpieces, like the heads of these religious groups, are the only ones who are kind of allowed to discuss with government on major policy issues? So there's not really a kind of diffuse or diverse discussion with, I don't know, the general population of these groups?
Yeah, generally those groups are centralized, except the Muslims, but the Jews, the Catholics, even the Protestants, and their representatives, they can speak to the government. But the Muslims are, each imam is on his own. So the government has been trying, but that's the problem, it's the initiative of the government and several ministers of interior to start organizing a real associations of imam with which the government could discuss, because there's problems, quote, Muslim problems to be solved, like the cemetery, like the things of how they kill animals and other things. So those points have to be discussed. And so the government has been trying very hard to organize that group of Muslims, but it always at the point of failing. I mean, it's very difficult, because you have problems of personalities, you have this, and there's many tendencies in Islam, and so they don't agree with that group and that group. So if the delegate says something, the others say the contrary. So that's 15 or 20 years that they have been trying to get that group together. It doesn't work very well. And it's always supported by the government, which is very strange, because the government should not do that. This is not his job to organize one religion. But in fact, they had to intervene in order to have someone to speak to. Yes.
Oh, so I was trying to figure out, can French Muslims and French citizens ever truthfully like coexist or co-inhabit France in the future? Is that a very imaginable thing, or can that be realized, or are there ways in which you suggest that could be realized soon?
No, I think this exists already for 95% of Muslims. I mean, they are Muslims sometimes after two or three generations. They are perfectly integrated. We have many journalists who are Muslims. As I said, we have two ministers, two women ministers who are Muslims, and that's no problem. So they are absolutely, completely integrated without any doubt. So the problem is those who would be a little radical on one side, or those who want some specific measures just for them. So that's a problem. For instance, in the school, it's a problem in the school if the young girl in the school cannot go to the swimming pool with others and so on. So you have practical problems, but then the tendency of the French is to make a law, while it should be negotiated locally, say maybe between the head of the school and the person, to say, well, what's the problem, what can we do, sort of local negotiations. But for the great majority, really, the integration is really a success for the great majority. You would say that? Yeah, it's really.
Yeah. In Italy, we have a similar problem for the immigrants and the laïcité. What is the role of the Union, the Europe, in the debate for the laïcité?
That's an interesting subject which I've been involved, because I've been 6 years in Brussels, so, and I was there when the Constitution of Europe was written, and we were fighting for to include an article on the relation between EU and the religions. And we got an article, I don't remember, they changed so many times the number of articles, so I think 71, but I'm not too sure. But it says that the European Commission must organize regular debates with the different religions. It's not just as they want, or when they want, they must organize regular discussion with the religion as a partner for the construction of Europe. And they do it. In Brussels, there's a regular meeting between the European Commission and the different religions. The problem being also, it's always the problem, who can be integrated into those religions? So should we integrate the Scientology, for instance? In France, we are against. In Germany, they are in favor. So what do they do in Brussels? That's the problem. But this, they really thought about that in the moment of the writing of the Constitution.
Yes. So I wonder if this policy of organizing in religions into entities with which you can interact through consultation, does this give the religious interests an ability to exert a greater influence and to articulate their interests more clearly to the state than they could, say, in the U.S., where religion is so theatrical and insincere in many cases?
I think for the case of France, on some issues, the debate was very useful in the sense that the position of religions have changed some project that the state might have done. The question of euthanasia is clear. They allow euthanasia in Belgium. There was no debate. I mean, they just voted that once without any debate. In France, we started to debate, and all religions say, we want to say what we have to say on this subject. We might have other ways of dying than just committing suicide. There's all sorts of things with medicine and so on. And then there was a general debate. And this had, I think, the presence of religion had a great influence in the issue of that topic. But that cannot... that's not always the case. I mean, there's many subjects where religion should say something and cannot. For instance, the organization of suburbs and urban planning and all this. We would have a lot to say about that, but, well, then maybe there's no connection in between, or we don't know where to talk, to whom to talk, whatever. But on some specific issues, religion have had a real influence, at least for France. And we can see that if it does not happen, then some other groups reach their goal. Like in Belgium, there was a very strong group in favor of euthanasia. They got it. And it's really, there's a lot of problem behind that. So the laïcité in France, in that sense, there's a delimitation which is very old, which does not prevent the debate between state and religion. But what I wanted to say is that on the cultural level, this theme of neutrality of religion is getting stronger and stronger. It's like what Donald Trump said once, I want to be able to say Happy Christmas and not just Happy Feast. But that's... some people are saying, for instance, we wouldn't say we are 2015 after 2016 after Christ, but 2016 of the new era. So it's a way of eliminating all type of reference, of religious reference. So this is a strong, we say, profound tendency, which is below many things. And it's below the law. And that's gradually, it's very difficult to go against that. So Happy Feast. Oh, no.
Yeah, we can't even say Happy Thanksgiving anymore.
Well, thank you so much for your time.